Jesus said, go and make disciples. It comes from the last chapter of Matthew, beginning at chapter 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them, the disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are the last words of Jesus. Right after this, he goes off and he leaves his disciples there to kind of carry out this commission. We call this the Great Commission. It's the mission of the church. It's what we're all here for. If it wasn't for this mission, Jesus would just come right now and take us all. But we got this mission. And the mission is this, to go and make disciples. I mean, it's pretty important, wouldn't you say? So you'd think that in the book of Acts, that would be the number one thing that happens, is to go and make disciples. But if you do a word study of the word disciple in the book of Acts, and you just start at Acts chapter 1 and you start reading, well, we'll do that. The first time you come to anybody where it talks about people who are following Jesus is in Acts 2:41. And in chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. But it doesn't say anything about being a disciple. And then in Acts 2:44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Again, no disciples. Acts 2:47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. No disciples. Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 4. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000 people. Again, not disciples. Chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers were in one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Again, all believers. Nothing about disciples. Acts 5, chapter 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord, and they were added to the number. So we're adding all these people who believed, who are being saved, but still not disciples. As a matter of fact, it is not until chapter 6. So we go through chapters 1 through 5, and if you look in a footnote of many Bibles, it says that the end of chapter 5 to the beginning of chapter 6 is a long time. Could be as many as 2 or 3 years. Finally, in chapter 6, verse 1, we get it. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. It's not until chapter 6, which is a long time after all these people are saved and added to the number and become believers, where we start seeing disciples really being made. Now you're probably wondering, what is the significance of that? The significance of that is this. Last year, last summer, we did our core values. And the way the schedule worked out, I had 2 weeks between the end of that sermon series and our sermon series on prayer, which starts in 3 weeks. I had 2 weeks, and I wasn't sure what to preach on. But as I was going back and looking through our strategic planning document, believe it or not, there were two values that didn't make it to our core values. We didn't think that we're doing it right now, but they were values for which we aspired to do. And one of those values was this. We wanted to be a disciple-making church. We wanted to be a disciple-making church. And I remember sitting there, because I was just part of the discussion, I wasn't the whole discussion, and I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean we want to be a disciple? That's what we're here about. We want to make disciples. That's what we're all about. But the truth is, you know, Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples daily, one-on-one, to prepare them for the time when he would be gone and to make disciples out of this ragtag group of men that he just called to himself. It didn't happen just instantaneously. Making disciples is different than being saved and being a believer. Being a believer is when Jesus Christ comes to you and he calls you as his own and you are saved. He has brought his Holy Spirit to you. You are his. He grabs a hold of you and you are his child. But that's just the beginning point. The next point is to become a disciple of God. And you need his help to become a disciple of God, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what exactly is a disciple? If we're going to aspire in this congregation to be a congregation that makes disciples, how do we do that? What exactly is a disciple? Now, Jesus talks about discipleship all the time in all the Gospels. And he talks about his disciples individually, and then he makes comments like this: if you want to be my disciple, you must do something. There's an act there of doing something to become a disciple. And I want to look at four things that Jesus talks about in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, about what it means to be a disciple and what are the elements and the components of being a disciple. Because if we can do that, then we'll know how we can be a disciple-making church. The first place I'd like to turn this morning is to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples and to the Jews who had believed in him. And beginning in chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says this: to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "Well, we're Abraham's servants. We're his descendants, and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." The key here is back in verse 31 when Jesus says, "If you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples." The first point that I want to bring out to you today is to be a disciple is to hold to the teachings of Jesus. Now, this word disciple in the Greek, it's called mathetes. And it's actually not just found in the Bible, in the Scriptures, but it is also found all throughout the Greek Empire. As a matter of fact, there were people who followed Aristotle, and they were called his mathetes, his disciples. To be a disciple of someone meant that you sat at their feet and you learned from them. And what Jesus tells them is that if you really want to be my disciples, if you really want to follow me, if you really want to be deeper in a relationship with me, here's how you do it. You hold fast to my teachings. And I think about these disciples, and they're saying, yes, Lord, okay, we'll hold fast to your teachings, yes, Lord. And all of a sudden, 3 years later, Jesus is gone. And now they're confronted with all this stuff. And they're saying, you know, we're supposed to go and make disciples, we're supposed to go into Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth, and they're trying to figure out how to live their lives, and how did they do it? They remembered the teachings of Jesus. They remembered sitting at the Master's feet and being his disciples. And they used those words of Jesus to guide their life. And folks, we still have the words of Jesus in his Holy Scriptures. We can still sit at the Master's feet. We can still let his words come into us and guide our lives. And if you wish to be a disciple according to Jesus, hold fast to his teaching. Spend time in his word. Spend time in his scripture. Spend time in prayer. Be a disciple of Jesus by abiding and holding fast to his word. Second point. The next one is also from the book of John. And it is this. It is John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." You'll remember that Jesus said the greatest commandment is this: you should love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is crucial to being a Christian. Love is what we're all about. And if you wish to be a disciple, you've got to love. And love can be very difficult. Paul says that love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, love is long-suffering. Jesus said we should love our enemies. Those are difficult words. And yet, if you really, truly wish to be a disciple, love needs to be a part of who you are. If you look at the early writings of the church, in all of the writings, Tertullian, the letter to Diogenes, all these letters, the one thing that the early church was known for, more than anything else, was that they loved. And they loved unconditionally. As a matter of fact, the letter to Diogenes, which we have no idea who wrote it, but he says, you know, these Christians, they love and people hate them and they don't even know why they hate them because they're such lovable people. And yet that's who they were. They were marked by love. And if you wish to be his disciple, you need to mark your life with love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved you that he gave his one and only begotten Son for you." So the first one is to abide in his word, and the second one is to love. Those are marks of the disciple. The third one comes from John 15, verses 4 through 8. Beginning in verse 4, Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple." The third mark of discipleship is this: to bear fruit. Paul says, what's the fruit of the Spirit? You know them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Hey, I did it. I'm so proud of myself. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And apart from Jesus Christ, apart from his Spirit living in you, cannot do anything. But because you are grafted to Jesus Christ, because he is the vine and you are just the branch, his life force goes through you and produces fruit. This last week I was gone. Jennifer and I went to a conference. And my parents came and watched my children. And my birthday's coming up, and my dad said, "You know, David," he says, "I want to give you something for your birthday. I'm going to bring two fruit trees and plant them in your yard." So while I was gone, my poor father had this pick and shovel and was hammering away in the yard to create a 2-foot by 2-foot by 2-foot hole so he could plant these fruit trees. And they look beautiful. But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, a citrus tree is a citrus tree. It could be a navel orange, or it could be a sweet orange, or it could be a lime, or it could be a lemon, or it could be grapefruit. I mean, they all look the same to me. How am I going to know what in the world this tree is? Well, I'll just wait a while. I'll nurture it. And pretty soon, little fruits will come off of it, and I'll be able to see that it's a navel orange. At least I hope it's a navel orange. Because I love navel oranges. They're seedless. But it might be grapefruit. You never know. You know why they call it grapefruit? Because they grow like grapes, you know, in clusters. Grapefruit. And I love grapefruit too, but I really want navel orange trees. But you know a tree by its fruit. And Jesus says, this is how you will know, they will know that you are my disciple, is that you will bear fruit and remember the fruits of the Spirit. So that's the third one. The first one is abide in me. The second one is to love. And the third one is to bear much fruit. But there's one more step that's talked about in the Gospels, and it comes from chapter 14 of Luke, beginning at verse 25. Jesus was with this large crowd. The large crowd was traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, this is a large crowd following Jesus, but he turns to them and he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. The fourth one is the sacrifice, the personal sacrifice that you must make to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here Jesus is talking about someone who does not hate his mother or father, wife and children, even his own life. And when Jesus says hate here, he's not talking about hating, but saying put that as a secondary position in your life. If you really want to be my disciple, I'm first. I am first in your life and I guide everything that you do. Everything that you have is for my use, to be a use in this world. And it may come as a great sacrifice to you. It might be your time, your talent, your treasures, your possessions, your gifts. It might be the relationships that you have. Whatever you have in this world that God has given you, he may ask you to sacrifice that for him. And when you do that, you are his disciple. Four things: abide in his word, love, bear much fruit, and sacrifice. Now, there are other things in Scripture, but these are the four main things that says if you really wish to be a disciple of Jesus, these are the things you must consider. And like he was saying to the person who must consider the cost, these are the costs of becoming a disciple. And if we're going to be a disciple-making church, then what we need to do is to train you to do those things. We must train you on how to do those things. And what does it say in Matthew? How do we do that? How do we make disciples? He says, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. This last week, on Monday, I went to this conference. I almost hate to say what it is because it's got a silly acronym. You ever notice about how things have silly acronyms? Well, this one has a silly acronym. It's called the Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support. And I think they made up that acronym so they could have this, PALS. So we're supposed to go together and meet as PALS. And it was a really interesting thing. We do this about once every 6 weeks. We go down to Phoenix and we spend all day. And it's kind of like continuing education credit. And this time, our PALS seminar was on addictions. And it was really fascinating. But the truth is that we're all addicted. Now, here we were talking about substance abuse and all other types of addictions, but the truth is we're all addicted to sin. We all have the human nature in part of us. We all want to follow the desires of the flesh and not the desires of God. We're addicted to sin. And what is the first step in any addiction program? It's this. Step number one. We admit that we're powerless over addiction and that our lives have become unmanageable. The fact is, without Jesus Christ, you are addicted to sin, and your life has become unmanageable. And that's when Jesus Christ comes to you, where you are baptized in his name, and where he comes and he takes a hold of you, and you become a child of God, and your salvation is secure. But folks, that is just step one. There's a whole nother set of steps there on becoming a disciple of Christ. And the fact is that when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you start to follow those four steps, abide in his word, love, the other two, all these four things, I can't remember what they are, abide in his word, love, bear fruit, and make a sacrifice. You do those four things, what you will find out over time as you grow deeper and deeper into relationship with Jesus Christ is that you are no longer addicted to this world. You start to become addicted to Jesus Christ. And it is a powerful addiction. And there are people in this congregation who are mature disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have lived their lives in love towards other people. And they are people who are examples to us of how to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is complete in Jesus Christ by the work that he did with you. But he doesn't want you just to remain there. He wants you to follow in his paths, to be his mathetes, to sit at his feet, to learn from him and to become addicted to him. And through God's grace and through his power, you can do that. And it is a wonderful addiction to have. In the name of Jesus, amen. At this